This is the greatest season of your life, and you can believe that and know it to be true. The Word says God is great, and He's greatly to be praised, but He's great, and He's greatly with you. He's great all the time, every time, and He's never without you, or you're never without Him. He's with you always. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I'm with you all the time. You know, we live in an incredible sphere of opportunities to believe God, and not just believe Him for things, but believe Him for who He is and how He is who He is, what He wants to do, what He wants to say. The mind of God, the heart of God, the blessings of God, the Word teaches us, are so far exceeding our imagination. There's no real way to capture in our own minds what God wills to do. But I love when the Word says, but He is revealing it. He will reveal it. But He is revealing it. Today we're going to be talking about how to bring things to change, the real change, from the nations of the earth to your own personal life, your mind, peace in your mind, peace in your heart, but real direction and things that bring change. What brings change? What brings real change? The kind of change that you don't wait for, but the kind of change that overwhelms you and you look and say, God did that. That was by the hand of the Lord. You know, there isn't anything that makes you feel more empowered, more necessary than having God say something to you and knowing that it came from God, or having God saying something through you. And here's the big question: is there anything that we do or don't do that makes those things happen? In other words, what is there something we can do, or things we can do, ways we can speak or believe that makes those things happen more often, that causes us to be a vessel of the Holy Spirit? And the answer is kind of yes and no. You are a vessel of the Holy Spirit. God made us to be vessels of the Holy Spirit. And one of the great detours to seeing the performance, the wonder, the power of God, is when we get sidetracked in our faith. And your faith is really the eye and the key to seeing what God is doing. We oftentimes think about what God is going to do, but the Scriptures tell us He's done all things that pertain to life and godliness. But you can say those things, the evidence of those things God has done, is in the sphere of our faith and how we believe God and how we think about God. Because you've heard it said many times, the mind is that great battlefield. That's where all the wars happen. But what kind of wars, and why, and can we get out from underneath of the warfare of the mind? Can we really see? Can we make a real evident change in the world? And can we be a vessel that really is evident that God is working through us? Not only to testify to people around you, but that testifies to you. Look and see what God has done. God has done something phenomenal in my life. And the answer to that is absolutely. And yes, there are things that we do. Our faith isn't dead. Our faith is alive. And the Word says faith without works is dead, being alone. It's certainly not the works or the efforts that make us righteous or make us right before God. But God's talking about the evidence of who He is with us. And our faith, meaning our faith in God, it's really faith in one area. It's faith in God. It's not faith in a multiplicity of different things that reveals all the incredible things that God has done, but it's that singularity of faith in God. Jesus one time spoke, He cursed a fig tree and it died from the roots. And the disciples asked Him, and they said, how is this possible? And he says to this great wonder, in an instant, a tree dries up from the roots. He says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And that is an entire world, if you will, a sphere of revelation and excellence. And the great thing about worshiping God, about being born again, being born of the Spirit, being a believer, is that the wonders of God never cease. And day after day after day, we wake up with a renewed hope. And not that we feel hopeless when we went to bed at night, not hopeless because we went to sleep in a hopeless day. I mean, some people do and wake up to a new day, but it's not just the day, it's the wonder of what God is going to do. And your faith is the conduit to all those things that you're going to be aware of. Your faith isn't the conduit to what God is going to do or who He is. He is who He is. And He does who He is and what He is. He's good, He's kind, He's life, He's joy, He's peace, He's the fullness. And this always ministers so deeply to me. God is the fullness of all things. So rather than trying to get something from here and thinking that makes me feel better and this makes me important and this gives me value, the value of all that we are, the value of the peace of our minds is He is all things. He is the fullness of all things. And here's the great thing. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ, the life abiding in you. So let's sew this tapestry of many things together in the value or in the portrait of one canvas or within one vessel. Let's just bring it all to life right here and right now. And I want to begin by Romans chapter 12. And how do we prophesy and see what we say come to pass? How is it we hear the voice and the word of God and make a difference? Things happen. Things change. It's evident. Look and see what God has done. I love waking up every morning again saying, look and see what God has done. And my opening prayer is always thankfulness. We're going to get into that. Thankfulness for what God has done. And my prophetic statement, something great is going to happen today. And I'm telling you, the more my ear hears my mouth declare that, regardless of what the emotions may be saying, because your emotions are all over the chart. I mean, it's a dollar and a half worth of chemistry that governs most people's emotions and tells them whether or not it's a great day or a bad day. That's a pretty poor exchange for the greatness and the glory of God that tells you every single day something great is going to happen and then empowers you to prophesy what's going to happen. Things, the Word says, the Spirit will say things through you you didn't even know. Inscrutable, unsearchable things you couldn't find out on your own. God is present with you. And again, I'm going to begin in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And this scripture I have quoted more times than I can count, and I'll tell you why. It is life to me. From the time I was a young man, a kid, it's spoken to me, and it's transformed my life. And the more my ear has heard my mouth make this declaration, not just reading it off the page, but watching this page come to life. And how does that happen? When it comes out of my mouth and I start telling my mind that I know this to be the truth about me, not randomly, not in a speculatory way, but this is God in me, making it very evident to me. God's given you a great treasure. We're going to talk about what that treasure is. And that treasure is your tongue. It is the power of life. The Word says life and death lie within the tongue. By the tongue, we're justified or we're condemned. By your tongue, God has given you a present gift. It's that treasure that's always in your pocket. It's always in the vessel that you are. And if you know how to make it alive, how do we know that? The Word of God tells us. And it's your faith in the Word of God. And what's so great is we can see so many things. We're able to see things, we're able to touch things, but there is such an incredible world of reality on the inside of us that only faith in God can tap into and release. And when it comes through us, and that's what the Word does, it makes things alive in us. That's why it's called the living Word. Then the evidence of God is incredibly evident, and the world around you begins to transform according to the Word of God that's in your mouth. And God's using you as a vessel because that's the way He created us to be. So let's go. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, and this is a command to you, to present your bodies, these vessels, as a living, and I like that word, alive. You don't have to wait till you die. A living sacrifice, holy acceptable to God. We can pause right there. So Paul has a revelation by the Holy Spirit, and he says, listen, this is the first step. And he's saying, I appeal to you. In other words, Paul has a deep revelation that is life to him. This has become his life. This is how he thinks about his body. This is how he thinks about who he is and how God thinks about him. He knows this, and this becomes the foundation, the stability of his actions, his attitude, and God uses him profoundly. Today, we're still talking about Paul. Today, the acts and the faith of Paul in the Word of God by the revelation of the Holy Spirit are still transforming our lives, and I am a living witness and a testimony to that fact by the revelation of God in Paul, by the word of the tongue of Paul, by the writings of Paul. Paul was that instrument, that vessel, and he's transformed countless lives by the Spirit of the Lord that worked through him. And again, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. So God has made us these vessels, these bodies that oftentimes people do themselves a great injustice by speaking contradictive to the Word of God regarding their bodies, because of their past, maybe something they did they shouldn't have, their sin life, their whatever it is, and they discount themselves based on their actions instead of evaluating ourselves based on Christ's actions. And that's who we are. We are the evaluation of who Christ is. You are the value of who he is because he died for you. He raised by the glory of the Father, and everything he did that in you. He did that through you. This is a reality to Paul. This is a revelation in Paul. And Paul is saying, you have the potential, the power, the promise to be able to present yourself acceptable to God. And then listen to this. He said, and that is true worship. When you present yourself as a sacrifice acceptable to God, that is true worship. Because, listen, we are the ones that are worshiping God. And if your faith doesn't allow you to see Christ in you, your worship is going to be greatly lacking, to say the least. Coming humble before God or humbly before the Lord doesn't mean you discount who you are and what you've done and put yourself down. I mean, that old man was put down when Christ died for your sins. He did that. He doesn't want you to do it. What he wants you to do is see what the word says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so Paul says, when you come before the Lord, be thankful. The word says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. God, I thank you for this day. Already your mind is beginning to take on the evidence of the power, the word, and the will of God. Already your mind will begin to change. We're not even through the scripture here. Already your mind begins to change. Why? Because number one, you stop contradicting God. It isn't that God isn't doing, performing, or speaking in your life. It's that we become, the word called it, so dull of hearing, our eyes blinded that we can't see what is so profoundly evident, and not just somewhere out beyond your grasp, but within you. David, I love the Psalms of David where he says, the Lord speaks by me. How? That's not arrogance. That's confidence in God. That's surrendering yourself to God. Surrendering yourself to God isn't talking about how sinful you are, how bad you were, I'm nothing. I mean, that's literally arrogance. That's really contradicting the work of the cross. And I know people don't mean it when they say it. They think, well, this is humility. It's not humility. And in many respects, it's an ode to the flesh. It's an arrogant way to talk about how strong our sinful nature is. That is dead. It's lifeless. It's powerless. But the nature of Christ that abides in you, that's where power is. God didn't create us to go around moping about what we didn't do or feeling bad about who he created us to be. He wants us to praise him. And it's difficult to praise God when you feel so depleted in yourself, so lacking. But God has given us his word not to be a endless exercise of tasks, weighty, heavy tasks. He's given us his word so we would think like him, so we would know and realize we are like God, not in ourselves, not by works, lest any man should boast. But we, as a so often as a Christian or believing people tend to put ourselves down, tend to discredit what our bodies are. The Word calls your body the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says here, your true worship is when you come before God and then you present yourself as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your true worship. And then he goes on to say, and he says, do not be conformed to the world. Now, being conformed is to be confused. So if you've ever found yourself confused, it's because your mind is being conformed. And why is my mind so easily conformed? Because we are evaluating who we are, not based on who Christ in us is, but what we've done, what we've seen, or in comparison to someone else. It is not about any of that. I spoke with a dear friend of mine the other day, and he said this. He said, you know, our faith is like our own fingerprint. It's not, no one has the same. God will evaluate you based on your faith and not evaluate you like judge you, but saying to you, this is who you are. Look and see who you are. Christ isn't back saying, oh, you shouldn't have done. What Christ is always doing is saying, this is who you are. And when our words, the equivalent of our words, the totality of our words, I mean all the time, we talk like this all the time, which is way better than putting yourself down, which is way better about than talking about what you are not or what you should be. But when we are evaluating and we evaluate ourselves, God says that's who you are. It's like Adam. When God said to Adam, he said, name the animals. And then he says to Adam, he said, whatever you call them. And this is God prophetically speaking to Adam. Adam had no clue in his own natural mind what the animals were. And God wasn't saying to Adam, you know, just figure out a name. Just come up with something off the top of your head. What God literally said to Adam is he said, whatever you call the name, because I've told you to name all the animals, I'm bringing them to you. And as they come, you're going to name each one. God said, whatever you call the name of it, that is the name thereof. In other words, Adam, you're not making this up. You're hearing my voice in you. Now listen to what God told them to do. God wanted Adam and Eve, told them to listen for him. My sheep know my voice, the scriptures tell us. God wanted Adam and Eve to listen for the voice of God and make their decisions and their determinations based on the voice or the word of God. That's what we do. That's what changes your mind. You can say, I believe God, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. You can say a bunch of those things, but when you contradict yourself, now you are being confounded by what the evidence of the world says. It's like being falsely accused. The world falsely accuses you if you are not identifying yourself according to the word of Jesus Christ. Things around you, you misinterpret, you misposition yourself, you misunderstand you. We are not the sum of our actions, we are the sum of his. We are not the value of what we did that we shouldn't have, or what we didn't do that we should have. We are the value of what he did do, who he is, and what he has revealed to us by his Spirit. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him would not be condemned, but would not die, but would have everlasting life. And so many times we think in life after being born again or being called or confirming, or if you're not born again, here's the word, be born of the Spirit. It's the easiest thing in the world you will ever do, because everything else you do, you have to do it. You go out and work, you have to do it. You know, you try to figure things out, you have to do it. But Christ figured it out for us. Christ gave you the gift of salvation. And all you have to do is say, I receive you as Lord and Savior today. I mean, I don't know how to do it, but you know how to do it. Just like God said to Adam, Christ be Lord of my life. I'm born again. But we have to follow through, because Paul said a two-souled, the scriptures say a double-minded man is unstable. A double-minded individual is unstable in all their ways. So when we say, I believe God is this, and I believe God is great, and I'm forgiven, and I'm redeemed, but then we go back and we contradict ourselves because you feel like you had a trying time. I'm only human. No, you're way more than human. You're more spirit than you are human. Because love is spiritual, with hope is spiritual, desire is spiritual, your faith is spiritual, your belief, you're way more spirit than you are human. Stop discounting the creation and the vessel of God. That begins to change your mind, because the word says there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who are not walking according to the flesh. The flesh tells you to talk about yourself in a negative way. The flesh, emotions tell you, I didn't do right, I didn't do this, I'm unbelieving. Now, when you begin to speak the Word of God and you become the vessel of the Word of God, it changes your mind all on its own. You can't think your way there. I mean, we've all tried to think our way into a good night's sleep. It's kind of like saying, you got to go to sleep. You have to go to sleep. And you lay there awake all night saying you have to go to sleep. It's the confidence, and this is time, it's nighttime. It's bedtime. It's time to go to sleep. It's the confidence in the Word of God. Adam, what is the name of that? That's a giraffe, God. That's right, Adam. That is the name thereof. Well, how did Adam do that? Adam heard one voice and one word, and he responded to it. That voice was the voice of God. That word was the Word of God. God told Adam, whatever you call it, that's going to be the right name. That is the name thereof. Adam couldn't possibly have told God the name of an animal that God didn't already know that it was. God didn't say, name it and we'll let it be that. He said, whatever you call it, that is the name. That word is in you. That word of being accurate, that word of having a mind, the mind of Christ, is on the inside of you. But you can't say the Word of God and contradict yourself after you've spoken that word. The Word of the Lord abides in you. Begin every day by saying something great is going to happen. The Word of the Lord is on my tongue. God will speak by me, and I will see this as I see it, as God sees it. I'm going to see it the way God sees it. This is the greatest season of my life. I will say of the Lord, you're my God, you're my shield, you're my strength, you're with me, you never leave me, you never forsake me. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my mouth. That's the beginning. But there's another step to what we say and confirming that as the Word of God in us. So when you open your mouth, your mind is transformed by the words you say, and your mind is not wrestling against you. The Spirit of the Lord is here to teach you, to lead you, and to guide you. Give God the praise. Give God the glory. Declare of the Lord, I'm blessed of God. This is a vessel meant for the Master's use, meant for God's use, not just so He uses me like a tool, but so He flows through you like a temple. This is a great season. This is a great time. Through the remainder of this month and on into, into next month, we're going to be talking about how to transform the world around you by changing your mind, your words becoming the power of influence that brings change to the world you live in, and you begin to see things the way God has evaluated them, and you'll find a different you. You'll find that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed, the new has come, and you'll find power in your mouth to change the world and the mind in and around you. This is that day. This is that season. I want to say to you that God cares about every aspect of your life, and He doesn't always answer it in the way you want Him to, but He is so God and so with you. He's bringing you into a world that He called His own, you. And He's going to do His wonders through His creation, you. And all you have to do, and it really is all you have to do, is have faith in God. And we're going to be talking about exactly what that means. So it is solidified in you so strongly that when that comes out of your mouth, you're going to know exactly what you're talking about. People around you are going to be impacted by the life that's coming in you and through you. And I give God praise for what He's done and who He is. And Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for Your Word, Your influence, Your Spirit, and Your power. This is that significant moment in time. The altar is also open for your gift, and your giving, your support always means so much to us here at PFC. We thank God for all that He's done and all that He's doing. God is doing great things. Be encouraged in the Lord and the power of His might. And remember, if you keep God's word, God's word will keep you. Until next time, God bless.